Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Productive Muslima. I hope everyone is having a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, inshallah. The weather seems to be, well, a bit windy today, but alhamdulillah the sun is out and it's not as cold as last week. So with the program that's running, with the theme that's running at on Radio Islam, we're speaking about simplicity, and I thought it's going to be a brilliant topic, especially for Productive Muslima, because this obviously interacts nicely with women, especially men too, just a general way of being productive. And I think simplicity is a very important aspect because it generally comes in between a lot of things. So if you speak about being simple, right, and if someone says or describes you or someone else as simple, generally some people take offense by this term simple, because if you describe someone and you say she's simple, it generally means she's plain, she's ordinary. Okay, so is that what you think of someone who's simple? I'm not sure, because everyone looks at it differently. Some people take it as an insult because there's nothing special about them. But what do you think? What do you think simple means? Is it a positive attribute? Is it a negative attribute? And why do you think so? Do you think if it's positive, why do you think being simple is positive? What do you think are the positives about it or the benefits of being simple? So let me know your thoughts. Call me on 011-854-1548. I would love to hear what people think about this term simple. Okay, so before we can start, or rather, let's begin with this. Everything, with every topic, you have to go back to what Islam says about it, and then we can put it all into perspective, right? So if you look at the word Islam and our religion, Islam is it's a natural religion. It's something that's so natural and so a part of us. It's described as a simple way of life, something that you don't just do. It's not a subject or something that you choose to do. It's a way of life. It's in everything. In your sleeping, it's in your eating, it's in the way you breathe, it's in the way you speak. It's every single part of your life. Islam is inculcated. So by that we can see that it's a natural religion, because it appeals to our inner fitra, our natural state, right? It fulfills our basic needs. We don't have to, you know, Islam doesn't ask us to do anything unnatural. There's nothing, there's no way in Islam that asks you to do anything that goes against your fitra, against your natural disposition. So nothing goes against human nature, and this is Islam itself. So this tells us alone that Islam is a religion which is easy to practice, and what is preferred in Islam is to practice Islam with simplicity. If we look at everything in Islam, it's very, very simple, even down to the eating, to eat with your fingers, as simple and as humble as possible, to sit on the floor, etc. So we know from this that Islam is simple. Now when you look back at people years ago and you look, nothing has changed in the types of people that they have been. So if we look back, we can see that there's always been three types of people in the world. Always they were always very rich, middle class, and the poverty stricken. It has never changed. It's always been like that, and it still is. So you will get the three different types of people, and based on that, that is how they live. So Allah distributes wealth differently, and He knows why. In His vast knowledge, Allah knows why it's distributed in this way. So that goes without saying that you will always get a very rich person, you will always get someone middle class, you will always get someone who's poverty stricken, right? But Islam doesn't change the rulings for the different types of people. Islam's base and foundation is simplicity. Subhanallah. This is how we are brought up, and this is how we are taught, and this is how we live, living simply. And if you look back in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what better example is there in the world than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There's no better man ever to have threaded this arc. And if you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not just a Nabi, he was a leader. He was the exact same as a king, only that he didn't want all of the wealth and the riches, which he easily could have had. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a leader, and the best example is his. Because there was no kingdom, there was no gold and, a gold throne, etc. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever behaved like he was better than someone. He had no greed. So if we look back at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, and this is what we need to aspire to, so that we don't also get too taken back with the dunya. When we think back at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, then it makes us feel guilty. When we start realizing and thinking about, look at our lives, how it is today. We're very far from the word simple. Some of us may describe ourselves as simple, but we're very, very far from what simple actually means. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never had greed for this dunya. Even his food was simple. Not only simple, it was a little. Everything was moderation. When he washed his clothes, he slept on a mattress. He would sit on the floor and eat. He would mend his clothes. He would sweep. He would stitch. The things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did were simple tasks. Things that a leader won't normally do. This was something unique to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You wouldn't find a leader doing these things. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a humble servant, and someone once asked Aisha radiallahu anha to describe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she said he was like an ordinary man. Ordinary. He swept, he stitched, he mended his sandals, etc. So we know that this is the beauty of our deen, is that simplicity is good. And with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even the Sahaba used to sit around him. And if someone had to approach the Sahaba and look for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they wouldn't know who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, because he looked exactly the same as the other Sahaba, there wasn't a pedestal for him. And so people found it very, very difficult to actually decipher who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was because of his simplicity. And so the Sahaba once also recommended and advised Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll put you on a little bit higher, just so that people know and respect you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused this because he didn't want anything that would associate him with being higher than everyone else. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, the most humble, and even he was given the choice when Jibreel alayhi salam came down to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and gave him the choice of living like a king or a humble slave, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, humble slave. SubhanAllah. And if it wasn't for our Nabi making choices like this, I don't think that we would be living, we would truly appreciate what we have today. But we still, having said that, we're still so far from where we should be when it comes to simplicity. Now, when you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time and what he inculcated in the Sahaba, and it stayed like that for a while. But after that, after the first three generations, things started to change. So about 1,000 years ago, during the golden age of Islamic civilization, the Muslim Ummah started indulging in consumerism. And then, because the empire started to expand, there were new riches, it started corrupting the Muslims. And then they started forgetting their true purpose in life. And remember this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never feared poverty for his ummah. He said, I don't fear poverty. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fear for us? It was riches, it was wealth. Because he feared that will destroy his ummah. And look, this is exactly what is happening today. It is the wealth that has consumed us so much that we have no time for anything else except ourselves and our immediate families. The sense of being a society, being a community, helping each other, all of that has changed. Now what we're doing is we are in this separate entity. Even if you're living next to your neighbor, you don't know who the neighbor is. Before, if someone was sick, everyone would run to the home. Today, people are so involved and people don't expect you also to do it. And because of how we live, and it's actually very, very sad, because we don't have a sense of community. And this falls under simplicity. Because when you are simple, you don't have time, and you're not preoccupied by wealth and extravagance. And when all this starts to filter through to you, what starts to happen is that we forget our true purpose in life. And remember that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived this life and emphasized this life all in perspective of the hereafter. It was never ever to be permanently here or to make it so comfortable where you actually forget where you're going. You forget where you've headed, right? So these things we fail the test of Allah when we start to absorb these things. And this was the problem also with the Bani Israel and the Jews at that time. What happened is Allah says in Surah Baqarah that these type of people, the Jews, what they would do is they would become so attracted to life that they would give anything for that. And they wouldn't change it for the Akhirah because they've invested so much in the life that they have invested nothing in the Akhirah. And it's a good lesson for us as well. How much do we invest in our Akhirah? Because it's well and good to start investing in your life, but not if it's going to overtake everything and you're going to have nothing to give forward for your Akhirah. So this is also a distraction from our true purpose. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. You know, people generally say that, you think that, you know, if you're rich, it's a bad thing. If you're poor, it's a bad thing. No. What happens is we need to actually find the middle ground. With everything, there's moderation. Even in Islam, everything is moderate. And it goes right down to the way we live. So there's nothing wrong with comfort. But when it becomes our sole objective, then it's a problem. So where it consumes your every fiber of your being. You get up in the morning, what you think about is dunya. You go to work, obviously, then you're thinking about the dunya. You come home and you're still thinking about what happened at work. You spend time, you can't spend time with family because it's dunya. Everything is dunya. And what happens then is it consumes you to such a level where you stop thinking about Allah. In fact, weeks will go past. And then you start to think to yourself that, you know, I haven't prayed, I haven't read my Quran, I haven't found this connection with Allah. And this is a problem. This is actually a big problem because then you know that the dunya has now taken hold of you. Shaitan has now taken hold of you. And then to get back is very, very difficult. Remember, the dunya is also like, it's a trap. Because the more we get, the more we want. And this is natural. This is insan. We never ever satisfied. You know, a person will never be satisfied until he tastes death. This is the way Allah created us. We're never ever satisfied. And that's why we have to make this extra effort. Because dunya is like a trap. The more and more and more we get into it, we want more. So first you aspire for the house. And when you get that house, it's not good enough. So you pay it, you basically sacrifice on your family time and everything, and you know you work overtime, and finally you can afford this, and you pay it, only to find out that after you pay it, I want something bigger now. So you go back into the cycle again. Same with the cars. You have one, and be happy, and when it gets paid off, you think, no, now I need something new. So it never stops. It's a cycle. It's always a bigger thing, a better thing. If you go for a holiday, we want a better one the next time. If you see a friend doing it, you want it. So it's just a vicious cycle that goes around and around and around. And we need to consciously stop this. Also, you know, we've reached, I think in this day and age with the social media, with technology, etc., we've become so lazy that we also expect others to produce and we consume. So they must just give us what we want and we consume everything, right? We depend on everyone else for our survival. And we've reached the stage where people don't do things for themselves anymore. We need to ask others to do it for us. Or, you know, we expect others to do it for us. So we've also lost that barakah of doing things for ourselves. We've lost that also. So the dunya needs to be held in your hand, not in your heart. And this is the thing that we have to remind ourselves, is that sometimes dunya goes so deep into our hearts that we, you know, we've lost everything and we become so extravagant. If you look at even the foods that we eat now, and I'm sure everyone can definitely agree with what I'm saying, in that our food has become very extravagant. You know, it's no more the simple food. Now even our food is so fancy and, you know, it's not good enough just to have a cake. You know, it has to be this way and it has to have the latest this and it has to be in the latest that. And that even our food has taken our time. And we, if we look back, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to eat a little. And we love food. You know, we're living in an era now where food, there's pictures of food all over Instagram, all over Facebook. We just see food everywhere and we love food. And yes, it's good. It's really good to have food. But the thing is that when it takes over us like this, this is the problem, and where the food suddenly becomes everything, you know. We can't even, we need to stop and think now about how much we eat, really. And why is it that we are gone to such extremes, where we feel the need. And even if you are someone who likes simple baking, or you like simple food, even that is a problem. Because then you feel that, you know, no one is doing this anymore. And this person has so fancy food, she posts it all the time. Now I need to do the exact same thing. I need to also show how fancy my food is. Now the simplicity is directly related to contentment. Because if you are content, it's very, very easy to live a simple life. But if you're not content, you will constantly aspire to be like everyone else. And you will constantly be disappointed. Because you always feel the need to be like someone else. You know, you need to worry about your own, the way you do things. It should be okay for you. If you don't like a certain color, that's okay. If you don't like a certain baking, it's okay. Why is it that we feel the need to always want what everyone else has, even if we don't like it? Just the fact that it's great. Just the fact that everyone is doing it. I have to do it too. Or just because everyone's buying it, you don't even know what it is, but you want it. You know, you meet people like that who don't even know what the gadget is, but they tell you, no, you know, everyone has it, so I want it. And you ask them, but do you know what it does? No, but I'll use it. This is something that, it's truly amazing, because, I mean, we've reached the stage where simplicity has definitely taken a back seat. It's looked down upon. And as I said at the beginning, it's like you plain, you simple. You know, if someone says you're a simple person, it's an insult. I'm not simple. Simple means I'm just ordinary, nothing special about me. You know, so obviously this is not true, and simplicity is a good thing. I don't know why we seek extravagance, because simplicity is a good thing. And it's good to be, if you like something, then be happy with that. And that is definitely what is going to make you happy. Because following everyone else, you're never going to be happy. Fashion constantly changes. You know, people's tastes constantly change. Everything in life, everything that we want and we aspire to have, it's going to change. Nothing ever stays the same. So think about these points. And then let me know, what do you think? What do you think it is? Are you a simple person? Or do you have a problem being simple? Or you tried it? So you ever tried being simple and maybe someone said something to you? And, you know, a negative comment about being simple. What is it exactly that, you know, what is it exactly that's frowned upon about being simple? And remember, this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. So it can never ever be something negative. But obviously everyone's experiences are different. So inshallah, after the break, I'll read you a short article about a woman who actually learned how to be simple. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program Productive Muslima. We're discussing simplicity, and how far we have gone from being simple. But obviously with everything, there is always a way to come back to it, and we need to go back to basics. And back to basics is definitely to look back and review our sunnah and look at the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our sahaba lived their lives. And that is how we will get to basics. Ibn al-Qayyim says, this dunya is like a shadow. Run after it and you will never be able to catch it. Turn your back against it and it has no choice but to follow you. That's a very interesting perspective and obviously very true, because the only way to win dunya is to turn your back against it. And in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, the people of understanding are those who remember Allah while standing or sitting or lying on their backs, and they give thoughts to the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, O our Lord, you did not create this aimlessly. Exalted are you. Then protect us from the punishment of the fire. If we look back at our Sahaba, they achieved so much with such little resources. We have so many resources, and yet we achieve so little. It's amazing. In the evening, they never expected to live till the morning, and that is why they did the most that they could. And they were extremely productive in this time, because they had the mindset of, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Sadly, we don't have this mindset. And we know, you know, simplicity brings us barakah. Yet we don't have the mindset, we think we're going to be here. We take it for granted that tomorrow I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But we actually forget that, you know, Allah is in control of our lives and can go at any time. So we should make the most of it. In every way possible, we should make the most of it, right? So I was thinking, even with simplicity, more our children. If you look at our children, yes, we can still go back and think about what life meant to be simple. But our children, do they even understand what simplicity means? The fact that, you know, they have everything, and they almost immediately. Today, I would say a lot of kids get exactly what they want, or they live a far better life than most of us growing up, you know, and most of our parents growing up. Things were so much more simpler. There was no technology as such. People would play outside. The problems would be less than today. Today, with all of the technology, the problems are as big as the technology itself. So if you look at our kids today, if we have to tell them to be simple, for them it's almost as if, like, I'm not a caveman, you know. I can't go back and, what is this? You know, it's not the primitive ages. So it's like they can't actually comprehend being simple. And maybe we should start and show our kids so that they also understand what simplicity means, you know, and start sitting on the floor. Because I think with simplicity, it's also a lot about being humble. So if we start sitting on the floor, it already teaches us the simplicity, you know. If you've ever tried sitting on the floor and eating a meal with your family, you'll notice that it's very, very simple, but it also humbles you a lot. And just that alone, that simplicity already puts barakah in your food. You can actually notice that mealtime will be different. And it's so amazing when you do that. So we start with, like, little things, small things, and inshallah we help, and Allah helps us and puts barakah into it where it grows. So I was reading this article about this woman who actually found simplicity. And the thing about simplicity is, some of us find it very late in life, or we find it after tragedy hits us or so. So this is the article she wrote about her husband's death. His sudden death caused me to be so broken, so emotionally and physically fragile and empty, that I realized that the energy of certain people actually made it harder for me to find balance and peace. I came away feeling even more drained and damaged than when I went in. Through the harsh pain of experience, I eventually came to see that I just could not be with certain people. I could not go to certain places, and there were many activities and conditions that I could no longer abide. I now make choices that I felt afraid to change whilst I was a mother and wife. I no longer cook. I do not shop for anything but the bare necessities. I don't have a vast or varied wardrobe, wearing pretty much a version of the same thing every day. I have sold a large and beautiful house to live in a one-bedroom apartment, which, though still appealing and attractive, only requires minimal upkeep. I have abandoned all pretense at being interested in things so many women seem to like, and therefore I traditionally thought I should like too, including food, fashion, house furnishings and decor, and hair and body treatments, and I am finally okay with the fact that I have little to contribute to the endless conversations about all of these things that continually swirl around me. Somewhere inside of me, I knew that I needed to find the people, places and things that brought me peace and joy, that fed my soul with the basic ingredients of spiritual well-being, if I was going to heal and grow. Even though I have been on an active and conscious spiritual path all my life, no one and nothing could have persuaded me to give up the social and cultural pursuits that I thought I needed. I intellectually understood and appreciated all the beautiful theories and teachings that promoted simplicity as a valuable and worthy goal, but it was only when I craved simplicity that I was able to make the choices and create a life sufficiently uncomplicated and free to give me the emotional and psychic space to engage in the activities, especially reading, contemplation, and meditation, that now feed my heart and soul. So if you look at this, this woman that wrote the article, she basically found the simplicity, although she always was a spiritual being, she found the simplicity after her husband died. And that is when she realized that being with people, she realized that she was aspiring to be like others and doing what they wanted, but it didn't make her happy. So she started doing the things that she liked to do. And one of them was she didn't like cooking, so she didn't cook. And neither did she shop. She shopped for bare necessities. She made herself happy, and she says that that's how she found the basic ingredients of spiritual well-being. And if you really want to find yourself, and if you look back at, if we look at the monks and all of those, if you see something that's very common with all of them, it's that they all aspire to be simple. Like you have to sit on the floor and you have to do, if you go to these places, it's very, very simple. So there's definitely, simplicity is definitely linked to spirituality. You can't be on a high horse and expect to be spiritual. As I said, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but simplicity should be there. So you can have wealth, but it must never ever take you away from the remembrance of Allah. The extravagance mustn't be so much that you can't actually think about the akhirah because you're so preoccupied with this world. Like if you take an exam, you go to university, and you're sitting in this class or in this dorm, right? You have this little apartment, and now you're renting this place. And you want to become a doctor or whatever. You want to become something. You sit in this dorm, and then you ask for a flat screen TV and a candy floss machine and popcorn machine. And then you ask for this lazy boy couch. And then you ask for movies on demand. And you ask for all of these things. Now, what happens is it becomes so cushy. Are you actually going to be able to start studying? No, because you have so many distractions now, and every time you're getting things, you want something else. So your ultimate goal of actually becoming something or going to classes, it starts narrowing down. You can't go to classes anymore, because now what happens is that if you think about it, you're now preoccupied with wealth. You're preoccupied with the comforts that your ultimate goal you forget. And this mustn't happen to us as believers, because when we forget our ultimate goal, that's bad for us, because that's our akhirah. And the whole point of dunya is to plant your akhirah. Because your akhirah, your jannah is barren. It's a barren land. It's there, and we need to fill this land up and make it green and beautiful, and we need to build our palaces. So each deed that we do, it goes straight there. You know, it's like an investment account, and you'll see it later on. So when we say, oh, subhanAllah, we're building a tree there, a tree for us to sit under, to take shade. And then we send something else, we read something else, or we do something for someone. We're building a palace, we're building a brick, we're putting things into our Jannah. So think of it as an investment account. And every time you think of your Jannah, think that, you know, I want this brilliant thing in Jannah, so I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to do that today. So think of it and believe in the promises of Allah. Jannah is not a fairy tale. It's really there, and it's going to happen. So we start pushing ourselves and looking for the right things to do. And the only way to do that is to constantly remind ourselves that dunya is not permanent. It's a temporary abode, and our final abode and the perfect life will be the hereafter. So some of the reasons why, if you think about simplicity, why is it that we have a problem with being simple? Because firstly, we find, why is it that we overconsume, we overbuy, we put ourselves into debt, we do all of this? Because generally, with social beings, with humans, we have this need to belong. And no one wants to feel excluded. Everyone wants to feel worthy. So a way of feeling worthy and this need to belong is that we suddenly start buying things we don't like. We start doing things we don't like. We start saying things even that we don't like. So it's a sense of acceptance that everyone is doing it and I need to do it too. You may not like a color, but because it's the in thing at the moment, you're wearing it. You may not like a look of a hijab, but because everyone is wearing it and you are one of those who said you hated it, you suddenly start wearing it too. Why? Because you want to conform. And this is a deep-rooted problem. It means that we're not happy with ourselves. We have this inferiority complex that we need to have what everyone else has. We don't mind paying so much. It's becoming so bare that even, you know, I heard a comment recently that someone said, you know, it's more difficult to be in hijab than out of hijab. It's more expensive to be in hijab than out of hijab because of the abayas. The price of abayas is so high. And, you know, if you wear an abaya, it's cheaper just to wear jeans and if you really think about it, there's a lot of truth to that, because we've created this hype around fashion in such a sense where it's normal just to cover our bodies and look okay, like yes, we look nice. No, it's now about how smart you need to look. So smart that the next person mustn't have yours. If I buy from this woman, she must only have like 5 of that type. Otherwise, no, everyone's going to wear it. Everyone's going, I don't want to wear. I want to be, you know, no one else must have what I have. And this is not simplicity. This is actually extravagance. It's where our garments become a sense of pride in us. When we walk with pride. And this is a big adab from Allah, is when we walk with pride. We have to walk with humility. So we walk with such pride and, you know, our heads up, our necks high. And this walk, it was the walk of Fir'aun. Fir'aun used to walk in this way, and he used to, you know, display all his jewels. And he would take a walk in the town and he would, you know, raise his neck and walk. So like everybody knows who he is. And this is a walk of pride. So if your abaya is making you do that, then the whole sense of being modest is not there anymore. So it's a lesson for all of us, because, you know, we all fall into this trap when we wear nice things. You know, we forget to be simple. And, you know, we don't want to be simple. It's not just we forget, we don't want it either. We want to be dressed the way everyone else is dressed. So let's start loving ourselves to such an extent where we don't need to, you know, aspire to be like everyone else or follow everyone like sheep. You know, we are happy with who we are. Inshallah, inshallah, Allah give us that ability to be happy with who we are. Now, what you need to do first for simplicity is you need to build your life around what you need rather than what you want. So see what we need and give away what you don't use. Because there's this need to keep or to hold on to things. We don't need that. If you're not using it, give it to someone who's going to use it. You know, someone who, if you haven't used it for a year, chances are you're never going to use it. So give it to someone who actually can use it. Another thing is then start to invest more and consume less. So invest more of your resources. Your resources will be your time, your money, and your strength on other people, on learning and helping others, and start consuming less. Because at the moment what we do is we have reversed it. We consume more, we eat more, we spend more, we take more. And the giving is always less. So if we try and invest more and consume less, that would make it easier to be simple. Because the more you give, it makes you more humble. And then also spread simplicity. So how you spread simplicity is that you encourage your family to live simply. And it has to start with our immediate families. So, you know, we also, and someone said something very interesting today, is that we, with our kids, we actually make them have this sense of pride in themselves. Because what we do is when they dress up, we will praise the way they dress. You know, we don't praise them and, oh, you know, you've done this martial arts, this is so good. What we do is we praise the wrong things. So we praise how they dress. So we'll tell them, oh, you look so smart. Or, you know, oh, look at that walk. So what we're doing is we're encouraging them to have pride in themselves. We're encouraging them to fall in love with everything that's dunya related. Just because of what we're praising. So someone said this to me today, and it's quite interesting because I'm sure most of us do this. So now we can consciously think about it and reverse this role and then start maybe, you know, start praising the child's abilities. Start praising when the child gives someone something, when the child displays good character. Instead of saying, oh wow, you're so pretty, or oh wow, you're so handsome and you look so good and look at your shoes, I love your shoes. Because what we do is then we're building this love for the dunya inside them. So the next time they walk and they look at the shoe, they feel this pride. And they walk with it and they look at everyone's faces to see who's going to praise them. And these are kids, these are little masoom kids that don't know any better. But it's our reaction and it's the way we speak that we fill their hearts with everything that's wrong. So we're putting it in them to have pride in shoes and have pride in name brands and have pride in extravagance. So now maybe we should, you know, consciously change that, inshallah. So inshallah, I hope that everyone has brilliant Eid, inshallah, a lovely Eid. Allah bless everyone and accept our Qurbani and accept the Qurbani and the du'as of the Hajis, accept their Hajj, everyone who's gone for Hajj, inshallah, and bring back all our family members safely back to us, inshallah, and accept all our efforts, inshallah. Until next week, inshallah, from me, Suraya Chauhan, till next week. Fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.